Pete Watson's letter is welcome, as debates and queries on our editorials can help with the clarification and development of political ideas for all readers of our paper. In this case, it's necessary to try to remove any misunderstandings on the position we put forward, in order to then be able to explore whether there is a difference of opinion or not. Pete suggests that we supported Britain being in the customs union, as long as it had the powers to implement a socialist program, and later says that, by taking what could be seen as a favorable view of the coup, we could be associated with a Labour retreat. In the EU referendum, we disagreed with Jeremy Corbyn's Remain position, and called for an anti-austerity, anti-racist, pro-working class Brexit. We have a socialist and internationalist standpoint, for a voluntary, socialist confederation of European states. While maintaining this position, since the Leave vote, we also have to confront issues as they are posed, including what the position should be of a Corbyn-led government on trade relations with the EU. And we include in our program the best way of defending and advancing workers' jobs, pay and overall living standards during the Brexit process as it unfolds. Nowhere, however, in our editorials did we support staying in the present EU customs union. Instead, we welcomed Jeremy Corbyn's altered position, which, while maintaining his post-referendum support for leaving both the single market and customs union, was seeking, in his words, to negotiate a new comprehensive UK-EU customs union to ensure that there are no tariffs with Europe and to help avoid any need for a hard border in Northern Ireland. He also sought to negotiate protections, clarifications, or exemptions where necessary in relation to privatisation and public service competition directives, state aid and procurement rules and the Posted Workers Directive. Retreat? We commented in our issue 984 editorial that Corbyn's call for a New Deal could be used to challenge the EU leaders in Brussels on their anti-working class policies and expose their motives if they reject it. But we also recognized that a layer of workers feared that Corbyn might be retreating from Brexit. We ourselves warned that the eventual outcome might not be one that socialists could support, whether Corbyn's new position turns out to be unfavorable to the working class will depend on his subsequent positions and actions, in particular how firmly he and those around him take a stand in workers' interests, and mobilize mass support behind that, and counter the pro-capitalist positions of the Blairites. So we acknowledged that Brexit voters could end up with a betrayal by Labour, as Pete puts it. We agree that many people wouldn't have seen the detail of Corbyn's speech. The capitalist media distorts, hides or denigrates Corbyn's positions, which makes it all the more important that we use the influence in the workers' movement of our own publications to get across a Marxist appraisal of those positions. Pete recognizes that our policies must address workers who are fearful for their jobs after Brexit, and want easy movement of half-finished and finished products, and he concludes we should support trading agreements with the EU and with individual countries to keep trade rolling. These would be bilateral trading agreements, not membership of the CUBIC. However, a bilateral trading agreement with the EU would most likely take the form of a type of customs union, because, for instance, tariff-free or low-tariff trade would mean the EU and UK together having some degree of customs separation from the rest of the world. Without that, customs controls between the UK and the EU, including in Ireland, would be brought in to establish the country of origin of products, an outcome Corbyn was trying to avoid. It's true though, that neither protectionism nor fair trade will defend the interests of the working class and poor, nor are either a solution to the economic problems of the capitalist ruling classes. Many trade and customs variants are possible, but the central issue for socialists is, how will they impact on workers' interests? Socialist measures. Pete ends his letter by saying that a better demand would be for a socialist Labour government to negotiate trading agreements with the EU and elsewhere without any restriction on its ability to nationalise and enhance workers' conditions, etc. But not as part of the customs union. We, in fact, do strongly argue that a Corbyn-led Labour government needs to adopt socialist measures and act in workers' interests regarding trade, nationalisations, and so forth. Corbyn has leant slightly more in this direction, but unfortunately is still trying to compromise with the Labour right and work within the confines of capitalism. So we do, as Pete stresses we should, raise the sights of workers towards a socialist future. We have always pointed out that no form of capitalist relations, trading or otherwise, will solve the problems faced by the overwhelming majority in society. Only a socialist alternative can do this. Our editorial, issue 984, called for Labour's manifesto to include public ownership of the banks and largest companies, under democratic workers' control and management, and for the need to link up with the workers' movement across Europe for a common anti-capitalist strategy and socialist road. Pete argues that a socialist Britain would need to control its trade, and that a customs union would mean that there would be no tariff barriers around a socialist Britain. He goes on to mention the 1924 trade treaty signed by the Soviet Union and writes, a socialist Britain in capitalist encirclement would need trading relations, but could not concede monopoly of foreign trade, and control of industry. This conflates two issues. Yes, a socialist Britain would need to adopt a democratically run, state monopoly of foreign trade. This would be essential to control imports and exports, and movements of capital, as part of establishing a socialist planned economy. However, the trade agreements entered into with capitalist powers, tariffs, quotas, standards, and so forth, would depend on the outcome of hard-fought negotiations in which some concessions would be inevitable, as indeed there were in the 1924 Soviet deal with Britain. Incidentally, a customs union with the EU would not necessarily mean no tariff barriers around a socialist Britain, because, leaving aside the many such barriers the EU has with the rest of the world, the type of customs union would be a subject of negotiation, with many possible variants, including selective arrangements. Pete argues that being out of the coup could be the platform for a greater and more principled appeal to workers. It's certainly the case that the EU's trade policy internationally is decided by the interests of Europe's top multinationals, which have ensured aggressive profit-seeking deals at the expense of the livelihoods of millions of people in the developing economies. Negotiations like TTIP and CETA have shown in which classes' interests EU trade policy lies, and we oppose such deals, as should a future Corbyn-led government. Many workers outside the EU no doubt view the possibility of Britain leaving the EU customs union as an opportunity for Britain's terms of trade to be made fairer to the industries they work in, while Britain's capitalists have no such aims. On the other hand, in EU sectors of industry with significant exports to Britain, the EU had a £95 billion goods surplus with Britain in 2017. Many workers fear Britain leaving the customs union because of the prospect of their boss's UK market being undercut by cheap and non-EU products. Ultimately, only public ownership and socialist planning on an international scale can end the capitalist class's chasing of markets and production around the globe and guarantee decent jobs, homes and services for all. Any trade agreement between a socialist government and capitalist interests would have to be a stopgap, while movements for socialist change are built and spread in all countries. Meanwhile, socialists, while calling for the best possible trading deals in the interests of workers at home and abroad, must demand that no worker in Britain, the EU or anywhere else should be made to pay the price of the chaos of the global capitalist markets, and any hits on their bosses' profits. We lay the blame firmly at the door of the capitalist governments and their rotten, decaying system, and call for international workers' solidarity in the task of removing it. Judy Beeshan, Socialist Party Executive Committee.